Hello, it's Tom Watts from the Tom Watts Show here introducing this podcast. Chris Bird is away for this week, so Phil Nutter has kindly stepped in. There's no intro, so I'm just going to throw you right on in.
For those of you who don't know Phil, he's an award-winning presenter.
Thank you very much.
Who stole an award that I found out that I think I should have won now.
Yeah, but you see, I won Best Presenting Partnership.
Yeah, it's a two-tier thing.
And obviously, I think your other presenting partner...
Dragging that little idiot
down
through the mud. So yeah, that's that. If you listen to us online, which you undoubtedly are, because who listens to us on a radio? The signal isn't strong enough. It doesn't make any sense. So obviously you listen to us online on insanityradio.com. And if you are, there's a little box on the homepage where you have to sort of type letters and hieroglyphs and rhetoric and stuff in. And through that, clicking send, that will come to the studio and we will be able to converse with you through the medium of the computer. Not personally, but you can listen to us addressing you, but not directly, sort of through airwaves. Just think of our voices as electronic signals floating through the air. It's not really us, it's a computer generating us into, well, airwaves, which is... What is airwaves? What are airwaves? Nothing.
I thought they were like a chewing gum.
But just... Right, they're like little Tic Tacs, just writing words on, just flinging them at people.
Yeah, just...
This is radio now. This is modern radio.
It clears your synapses and can also communicate with your fellow human beings.
Sure. And we're conversing with you through the power of chewing gum. I like that idea a lot, actually. We said we'd talk about Chris Bird a little bit more during this little bit before we forget about him entirely until he decides to drag his ass back into the studio or just reappear somewhere. So for those of you who don't know, most of you, it is Chris's birthday in 4 days' time. So today was going to be the Chris Bird celebration show. But instead of that, I was going to read out lots of good things that have happened on his birthday. But instead of that, we're going to instead read out lots of bad things that have happened on Chris's birthday to make him feel bad about not being here. So these are some things that have happened on Chris Bird's day of birth. 1689, which is 12th of March, by the way. The Williamite War in Ireland begins. 1868, Henry O'Farrell attempts to assassinate Prince Alfred, Duke of Edinburgh. 1912, the Girl Guides are formed.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
And it's International Women's Day as well today.
Is there a connection? Make your own minds up. From sexist Chris Bird. 1928, in California, the St. Francis Dam fails, killing over 600 people. 1938, Anschluss. German troops occupy Austria. 1993, several bombs explode in Bombay, Mumbai, India, killing about 300 and injuring hundreds more. 2003, Zoran Dindic, Prime Minister of Serbia, is assassinated in Belgrade, and that's pretty much bad stuff that's happened on Chris's birthday for the past 200 years. For some reason, I thought his birthday was on the 21st, and I had like a whole A4 page of horrific stuff that happens. 21st of March is a really depressing day.
And of course, Chris Bird was...
He was born 9 days prior to that, so if you wanted it to be the second coming of Christ, then maybe it might have been, but while we debate that, we might as well listen to the brand new record from KEB, don't we? This is a broken record. Our tune of the week last week, brand new, premiered on this show. Enjoy.
You're listening to Tom Watts, a.k.a. Ram Slam. On Insanity.
Planet You Go by My Chemical Romance. There's been a lot of love for Phil Nutter on the emails, which is disturbing, really, isn't it?
Well, what can I say? The ladies love me.
We'll discuss that afterwards. But big love to Maggie and Melissa for both listening. Maggie in France, which is wonderful. Jazz Hicks, Katie J as well. Coming up next after this jingle is Higher and Higher by The Blackout. It's The Blackout with Higher and Higher, the new single from their forthcoming album, Hope. I love that tune. It's so big. I was going crazy, wasn't I, Phil?
Yeah, I thought your head was going to fall off.
Yeah, I was rocking around like one of those dogs in cars. Yeah. You're listening to The Tom Watts Show on Insanity Radio. So cool because I am Tom Watts.
You also look like a
Phil,
dog.
Yeah, what?
Also, I'm just saying, you know, the head nodding dog thing, you do resemble it somewhat.
Yeah, you might notice that isn't Chris Bird's Northern Dulcet Tones, but it's the dulcet tones of Mr. Phil Nutter.
You're right.
You enjoying yourself so far?
It's fantastic. I'm having a lovely time. I hope Chris appreciates the time that he gets.
Well, we've got a lot more emails than we usually do, and I'm blaming it courtesy of you.
What do you mean blame? You're saying...
No, I mean blaming in a good way.
People are getting in touch.
Exactly, keeping us up to date and keeping us in contact.
It's if we're reaching out to people, changing their lives.
Like with chewing gum and that sort of thing.
Fraggles, that's what you do. Yeah, so if you want to get in contact with us tonight, as we told you earlier, you can studio@insanityradio.com, on the old website, insanityradio.com, or via text if you actually want to waste credit on us. It would mean a lot to us, wouldn't it, Phil? What's the number?
It is 07781481287.
Massively done. He's such a confident and sort of alluring young chap. I'm sort of getting aroused from this.
What can it's I say? Confidence. Learn a number off by heart, it'll get you far in life.
What about 101? I've learnt that number. What is that going to get me out of life?
A film about Dalmatians.
Yeah, he's sharp, this one. He's very sharp. I was thinking more of just going to banks and saying, can I have 101? And they were like, what, pence or pounds? I was like, whichever is the greater denomination.
What's banks?
What do you mean, what's banks?
What's banks?
A bank.
Oh, a bank. Oh, okay.
A house for money. Oh, okay. Where money lives.
Yeah, I'm not one of them.
Do you reckon money pays rent to live in a bank? Like, that sort of defeat. Does money... Imagine if money could own money, paying for things. I think they'd be, like, really overzealous with their money. And, like, they'd be all be rich, like, nouveau riche sort of 1950s decadent French chocolate coins roaming around going, well, it's just a trifling consequence, really. Just throw some money at it.
Yeah, but I don't think like, metal can become sentient and, like, become artificially intelligent.
The Prestige has taught me anything. It's that David Bowie, when playing Nikola Tesla, can do anything. If he can clone Wolverine and Cat, then I'm pretty sure he can make sentient metal. I found this online the other day, and you haven't heard about it, so just listen to this and enjoy this. This is the UFO guy. He was on an American TV channel just chatting about aliens. It's crazy. Just enjoy this for a second.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Oh yeah, yes, sir. Definitely. They're out there, man. I've seen them. I've been out there in Aurora, Texas. They got them little graves and stuff. Yeah, I've been out there, and I know I'm planning a trip. We're going out to, like, Arizona or something and figure something out. Or not Arizona. What was it? Yeah, it was Arizona, right? That Air Force One where they found all that stuff. I got pictures of Aurora. I seen grave sites. They're out there, man, and I'm flying in the plane. I'm always hallucinating, but who really knows what I'm looking at? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but there's no proof of this. Just people's accounts.
You're right, there's no proof, but, I mean, there's no proof of Jesus or, you know, people go in the restroom until they tell you about it, you know what I mean? I mean, that's just kind of the way I see things.
All right, so you believe it then?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Do you think there's, like, little green men out there?
No little green men, sir.
No? Well, what do you think there is out there?
Who knows, dude? They could be made of water. I don't even know.
Water?
Water, man, you heard the man. Water. They could be made of anything. Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial, you mean?
Extraterrestrial.
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 There you go.
There we go, then. That was a UFO guy. So what do you think of that?
If I was into homeopathic medicine, yeah. I would start looking at my medication with a lot more suspicion, thinking, is this alien technology? Or am I just eating an alien?
That's water, though.
Yeah, but they might be made out of water. Were you not paying attention?
Yeah, but that's my favourite bit, because him saying that aliens are made of water, that's a plot line in an early episode of Futurama, where Fry drinks an alien and then it lives inside him and it's made of water. It's just straight out of Futurama.
It is.
They're not little green men. They're actually made of water, and there's talking robots, and someone's been frozen. He's got a 1,000 years into the future. You know, that's the plot of Futurama. Well, you can't prove anything, man. You can't prove people gone to the toilet unless they tell you. You can't prove the existence of Jesus Christ. You can't prove how birds fly unless you get them on the floor and cut their wings off, man.
I bet this guy, like, watched the Smash advert and now he's petrified of making mashed potatoes using actual potatoes, because he thinks there are tin robots circling us, laughing at our culinary inabilities.
Yeah, that Smash would be horrible. I wouldn't trust him watching anything on television if it's CGI. He's sort of got a Victorian mindset in where if a Victorian was here now and he watched television, he'd be like, how is all this real? How are these yellow people communicating through me through this magic box? Like, do you know what I mean? All these CGI films. Who are these blue aliens in Avatar? What is that? Like, he's got that sort of opinion. He probably thinks Avatar's a documentary. He's insane. He's brilliant, though, at the same time.
I do like his theory of, like, that people don't go to the toilet
unless they tell you about
unless
it.
They tell you that they do. And it's like, have you not? Do
that's
not
childlike innocence.
Do you not smell like when you go into the toilet? You think, this room smells a bit uriny.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else has used it, or does it think, well, no one's told me this, so obviously no one has. This is just the natural smell of this room. This is what porcelain smells like.
It's such a sort of childlike innocence about him. Do you know what I mean? Well,
you do. Just,
you know what I mean?
You do just want to pat him on the head because he
looks like Shaggy at Scooby Doo, is there? I like how the guy's so patronizing towards him. He's unnecessarily patronizing. Extraterrestrial. That's what I said. Extraterrestrial. And then he gets it. He's like, there you go. You got it, son. Well done, Pete. It's like a little kid.
Have a sticker.
Yeah, it's like a little fat kid who makes it to the end of the race. Well done, Timmy. You've made it to the end of the race. Congratulations. There you go, sport. It's the trying that counts.
Oh, poor him. He's the one that tries.
Yeah.
Does he succeed or fail, though, in your eyes?
I think he could be the next coming of Christ. Tomorrow is Lent for 40 days, where Jesus walked about the desert like an absolute Phil Nutter. Oh,
I've never been in a desert. That's not true.
I was going to say the word Nutter, but I thought I'd drop your name in as a little reference to who you are.
Okay.
Promoting you through the power of words and rhetoric. And like, I've got a list here of sort of cliche things that people give up, such as junk food, alcohol, sex, late nights, homework, Facebook, online shopping, swearing, tanning, your sense of entitlement. That I didn't really get that. I don't think I'd give up any of these. I don't know what I'm going to give up.
Just give up like metaphysical concepts like anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, just anything.
Concept of gravity.
I'm just going to float about for a week. And in my mind, I'm doing that. But physics...
Yeah.
You know, physics is obviously the biggest obstacle that...
I wouldn't advise you giving up physics or lessons, because then you wouldn't pass your degree.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, the laws of physics.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. Like, I don't know if you could, though.
Giving them up. What if someone, like, gives up the Tom Watts show, though?
Well, I could tell you what, mate, I wouldn't advise it.
Are you going to kick off?
I will be fuming.
Are you going to go around the house?
I will be a frumious bandersnatch, in the words of Lewis Carroll.
Oh, Jabberwocky, lovely.
Thank you very much. Cassius, I love you so. The Scream remix, absolutely love that song. I only really listened to it earlier. It's beautiful. It's such a wonderful summer song. I want that blasting out in summertime like a nice sunny day. You're listening to Tom Watts on Insanity Radio. I'm here with you till 9:30 tonight. Phil Nutter, in answer to the queries on the emails, is the other person in the studio. Chris Bird is not around tonight. He's missing, presumed dead, unfortunately. So, yeah, we've got Phil in. He's doing a really good job. I'm enjoying having him here. It's a pleasure.
Oh, cheers. You're going to make me blush.
Are you looking forward to doing Drop the Button in a minute?
I am. I'm quite nervous because I don't know, like...
Oh, you can interpret it any way you want. It's like modern art.
Oh, beautiful. My own interpretation.
Obviously, today is a Pancake Tuesday.
Hooray.
So today is Pancake Tuesday. In the Hub, they've got Cheesecake Thursday this week.
Have they got Pancake Day today? Or?
Yeah, it's Pancake... It's Shrove Tuesday, so it's
okay,
Pancake
so
Day
they
today.
Have got pancakes.
And they've got their own Cheesecake Thursday for some reason.
Was it just making it up?
And then I heard from somebody else that it's... Pie Week, National Pie Week. Like,
oh, yes, is it really?
I don't know, but why are there so many foods on this week? Why is this week so popular for food? It doesn't make any sense. So many sweets and then covered all over with a pie. It makes nonsense. Why has food got this week all wrapped up?
I'm just excited that now I can eat pies all week, and I've got a reason for it. It's like, I don't have to feel guilty about it. The other week, it was National Chip Week. I went to town on my bag of McCain oven chips.
Nice. Nice. Massacre.
Yeah.
McCain's massacre.
Not one left.
Sure. Philip, I'm going to kill the bed. The bed is dead. Would you like to do your shout?
Drop the button!
Drop the button this week, courtesy of Moi and Dwarf, Phil Nutter and Tom Watts. I like Tintin. Tintin was good. I've got a big box set at home, all the DVDs.
Are you looking forward to the Peter Jackson film?
Should be interesting, yeah.
I can't get my head round about what the... Because is it live action, or is it...
I think it's a mixture of live action and CGI.
Are they getting everyone to wear them golf ball suits and stuff? So it's sort of live action, but it's animation at the same time. Yeah, those like black... Like morph suits, but with golf balls attached to them.
Maybe, I don't know. I've always sort of wondered about that. But yeah, Tintin is brilliant. Did you ever watch the cartoon?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, he was a very non-violent sort of Indiana Jones, a young chap from Belgium who went around solving mysteries that were always very obtuse and out the way.
And then he had his salty sea dog sidekick.
Blue blistery barnacles.
And the Thompson twins, of course.
Yeah, they weren't the twins, actually. They were Thompson and Thompson.
Oh,
slight variations.
Oh, the Thompson twins. That was like an 80s band or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were in Tintin.
And of course, the Snowy, the lovable dog.
Little Snowy.
Who was just like yappy. I always thought he just got in the way.
He was very yappy. He always sort of got kicked or went unconscious and put a Tintin in a sort of Super Saiyan-esque rage. He went crazy.
Or like Tintin would be about to save the day and something happened to Snowy.
And
Tintin's got to decide whether to save the day or save Snowy. And obviously he always went for Snowy because he was selfish.
Innocent people have died on account of that mutt. Snowy.
He should just put it down. Put Snowy down and
get on with it.
And get a cat that you can just leave at home.
Leave it
at home. Get the neighbour to look after it. Sorted.
Nice. It's nice to have Philia talking about murdering dogs. This is Foo Fighters with Rope. We'll be back after this with the improved news. Time for Chris Bird's Blackpool News.
And Thomas' Weird World Views.
Hooray!
Cool!
Yes, that was Friends of the Show, You, Me, It's Six, featuring Chidi Bang with Rescue Me. And it's time for Tom Watts' Weird Wheel Views and Phil Nutter's Lancashire News.
Burnley News.
My friend. So you're listening to the Tom Watts Show on Insanity Radio, and yeah, it's time for the news. I want to say a big shout out to Ed, Beth and Alex and Marie from France all listening in. Your requests will be coming up in about 10 minutes' time after we do some topical discussions, aren't they, Phil?
We're going to get a bit intelligent now.
Well, you say that, Phil, but we were talking about Glow in the Dark Monkeys earlier during one of the songs.
So, yes, we were.
What have you got for me then? What news have you got to me?
Right, well, Barley, which is a small village, by the way. What?
I was reading this when you were doing that. I thought they were talking about the ingredient in alcohol.
Or the main ingredient in Robertson's fruit juice.
All right, okay, go on then.
Okay, anyway, barley is on the verge of an ecological disaster, according to a top local ecologist.
Sure.
Fear is growing in the village that it may bear the brunt of a major landslide, which Dr. Ron Freefy has declared it is.
What was his name?
Dr. Ron Freefy.
Sounds like a children's character.
Has declared it a
Dr.
time.
Dr. Ron Freefy. Sounds like a type of yogurt.
He's a serious ecologist. You need to take him seriously.
It's a time bomb waiting.
It's a time bomb waiting to happen. Dr. Freefy from Barley has asked to give his expert opinion on the state of the shale embankment above the river at Narrowgates. And he has concluded the village, among other neighbouring areas, are only a gale away from massive landslides. A gale away from massive landslides, floods, and power and electricity failures. Don't mock the power of the wind,
there
Tom
are,
Watts.
There are several things I want to bring up with this story. I like that he... It reminds us sort of South Park in that Dr. Ron Freefy is like the only scientist in town, so he automatically gains expert knowledge. He's like Stan Marsh's dad, Randy Marsh in South Park. And then another thing is that the way he's described it sounds like this entire village could be like buried in a sort of pyroclastic sort of landslide flow from a single gale of wind. It's like Mr. Burns in the Simpsons. This is a news article based off like ideas from cartoons that have been placed into a sort of warped reality. Barley isn't going to fall apart. Look at Christchurch every week. That was the power of the earth. Barley's not going to get... I could go to Barley, start blowing on some rocks and the whole place is just going to collapse on itself, is it? It's some kind of horrible modern Pompeii.
Yeah, you probably could because of all the hot air that's coming out of your mouth.
How dare you, sir? Listen, the amount of hot air that comes out of my mouth means that Phileas Fogg could climb in here and sort of float around the earth in 56 days. He beat his previous record. Or that old man from up could live in my eye and sort of float around to those beautiful waterfalls that he goes and finds.
Let's get back onto the serious discussion.
Okay, go
Barley's
on,
in danger. It can get, like, wiped off the map.
What are we going to do about it then? What are we going to do about barley? Right, there's French people listening. You send for international aid, all right? Let's preempt this before the wind strikes again.
So they've got like a picnic area because it's at the bottom of Pendle Hill, which is like a big tourist hotspot, and people will turn... They've got a car park there as well. It's a good car park.
You've been to Barley, have you?
Of course, because they have a car park where they charge you, but it's a voluntary charge. They have like a bucket which you can put like a fiver in.
What is this nonsense?
This is how we do it.
I want to go to Barley. I'm going to go to Barley with a hairdryer and just cover the place in mud and then just put some nice turf over it and have a nice field.
You'll get driven out of town. It's that sort of place.
Barley belongs in a bottle with fruit juice. It's not a town. It's like a leaf. It's like a growth. It's a plant.
It's a delicate leaf that may get wiped off the face of this planet.
Is this whole article a metaphor?
I don't know. Maybe. If it is, then the Burnley Express are very more intelligent than I thought they were.
Phil spent a good 5 minutes during the last 10 minutes of songs trying to find us on the BBC and then realised his mistake, went, oh, wait, it's on the Burnley Express. How do you get them two confused? They're not similar. They begin with a B.
They're both bastions of the media world. Everyone looks to the Burnley Express for advice.
Sure.
Yeah, I am sure.
All right, that was a good article, actually. I quite enjoyed that one. Good. It was a bit...
Go on, then. What have you got, then?
Mine is called Immigration Idiot.
Away we go.
An immigration officer tried to rid himself of his wife by adding her name to a list of terrorist suspects. He used his access to security databases to include his wife on a watch list of people banned from boarding flights into Britain. His wife visited family in Pakistan 3 years ago, but when she tried to return to Britain, she was not allowed onto the aircraft. Airline and immigration officials refused to explain to her why. She was forced to remain in Pakistan for 3 years until her husband's manipulation of the suspect list came to light. He is understood to have applied for a promotion that would have meant a higher level of security clearance. During the vetting process, the name of his wife was discovered on the suspect list to the surprise of security staff. When questioned, the officer confessed to everything and was sacked.
What's up, like, hold on.
What's she done? What has she done that made him doesn't want her to come back?
I don't know, maybe she had a headache too many nights, something like that.
It should be like a film plot.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say, so did she spend her entire time in Pakistan?
Yeah, with her family for 3 years. She just couldn't get back. No idea why not.
Oh, right, so she has family there. It wasn't like the terminal and she was just like mucking about the airport for 3 years.
She's not the Indian version of Tom Hanks in the terminal. I like that one of my favourites is he is understood to have applied for a promotion that would have meant a higher level of security clearance. What do you get sent to Guantanamo Bay? What has she done? Has she cuckolded him? What has she done that makes him want to stay in India for 3 years? Or is he that hedonistic that he's ashamed of her to come back? He's just sleeping around. This is like that Owen Wilson film that's coming out, Hall Pass, except their wives sort of give him a week off. They could do whatever they want. He's just gone, well, I mean, if she's a terrorist suspect, she can't get into the country, and I can do whatever I want, baby. He's basically Charlie Sheen of an airport.
And I think that the power's gone to his head. But but the thing is, you would, though, wouldn't you? If you could do that, if you had the power to, like, ban someone from a country, and, like, it'd be, like, the best practical joke in the world.
It'd be madness.
And I think more people should take advantage of, like,
what? Manipulating terror suspect lists?
Yeah, why not?
You're the reason 7/7 happened. I'll take that back. That's a horrible thing to say. But I don't rescind my opinion. You sicken me.
Can I just say I had nothing to do with that? I was at school that day.
Oh, convenient excuse.
I was in maths.
An absolutely convenient excuse from Philip Nutter there.
Tom Watts.
Opening up a can of worms.
Every Tuesday night.
Only on Saturday. Good. Let's go! Yeah, that was Panic at the Disco with the Ballad of Mona Lisa, who might have been a man according to Phil Nutter. You're listening to Tom Watts on Insanity Radio. It's the Tom Watts Show here with you till 9:30 tonight. Coming up in a minute is the new band of the week. But before that, I might as well go on a discourse and tell you how I met them, hadn't I?
Go on then.
Well, I was in Camden the other week. Eating crumpets, as I do. You know what I'm like, Phil.
I didn't know they sold crumpets in Camden. I thought it was just like...
Well, when you frequent Camden as often as I do, you pretty much know where to get the crumpets from.
There's like a Cuban restaurant. There's one of them. Yeah. I've seen.
Crumpets and
Never seen like traditional English tea.
So yeah, I met this band in Camden the other week. Like I said, I was eating crumpets with jam on. Some with butter. Doesn't really matter. But yeah, I was approached by this band who had obviously heard about my reputation of getting good new bands onto the radio. So I was like, yeah, I'll go on and play new stuff. It was alright, it's nice. The strange thing was, though, is that they weren't human. They were all sort of big rectangle slabs of wood playing instruments. It was a very sort of bizarre thing to look at. I mean, when they were playing guitar, they used like their little brass knobs on the left-hand side to do the chords, and shards of wood would fly down and sort of play. It was bizarre to watch. And like, as you can tell, they were doors. They were from IKEA.
Right, can I just say, you in Camden, had you like been on the incense or something like that?
No, they were real doors. Doors were playing music to me. It was nice.
Right, okay.
But the thing with this is that they came a bit close and I got a lot of splinters in me in a sort of Edward Scissorhands sort of manner. They couldn't touch me. So they wrote a song, a sad song about wanting to touch me. So
why would people be sad about wanting
they're made of wood. They can't touch anybody. It's not just me, it's everybody, but mainly me, because I was looking particularly attractive that day.
You see, I'd be jubilant if I couldn't touch you, to be honest.
You've never touched me.
I know.
And not even in a metaphorical sense.
There's a reason as well. Because I don't want you to get my splinters.
from your hard wood.
Sort of.
Is it in your pants, your hard wood? Is it? Little twig? Oh. Little twig? Is it?
Seriously, Tom, you're like the next Kenneth Williams.
How dare you? He was a...
You see, you even said that in a Kenneth Williams manner.
Me and Kenny ain't got nothing in common.
You might as well just start going, oh, matron.
Well, I won't be doing that anytime soon. Go on, then. How do you think I met this band, then? Do you agree with that story? Or
no, I think you just found them on, like... You probably just listened to Apocalypse Now, because they're on the soundtrack to that.
I've never watched that film.
I bet you have. I bet you've watched it.
This is a new band, Phil. I met them the other week. There were a bunch of IKEA doors, big slabs of wood playing instruments. How could I not sign them?
I'm surprised you haven't just told me that, like, you wrote Apocalypse Now and it's in production and start accusing me of how I've seen it and that I've got a pirate copy.
Well,
of it,
Philip,
something.
Now that you bring it up, I didn't want to mention our lawsuit on air, but if you're going to bring it up, yeah, there is a lawsuit, you pirate. You scandalous Viking. I don't know what you're doing with that. How have you seen it?
How did I see it? I saw it in a history lesson. It's my history teacher that you've got to tell off.
That scandalous little git. I'm going to have words of him.
Mr. Blanchard. Tell him off.
Mr. Blanchard. Oh, sounds like Mr. Blanchett. My pseudonym. Kate of the Blanchard
family.
Oh,
no, we've been rumbled. We've been rumbled, Kate.
Royal rumble.
Quick,
absolutely.
Get to the solicitors.
Right, then. We might as well play it, then. Yeah, I'm sure you've guessed it by now. The new band of the week is The Doors with Touch Me. And trust me when I say they're real doors. They are. They are made of wood. Yeah. That were The Doors with Touch Me, followed by the dulcet tones of Nick Cage from the film Wicker Man, which you already know we're huge Cage fans on this show. You're listening to Tom Watts. I'm here with you till 9:30. Phil Nutter's running the desk, doing buttons and stuff, doing a mighty fine job of it in all, the young little scallywag.
Yeah.
The top four will be starting in a minute, so do not worry about that, in about 2 minutes approximately. But before that, a website we've mentioned on this show a couple of times has sort of gone viral now, which is good. Don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Kim Jong Il looking at things.tumblr.com.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this. This is fantastic.
And, like, I was shown it about a month and a half ago, and like, I've never heard of it before. And then I've checked out, I've literally subscribed to the RSS feed, and I'm loving it. Like, I just love seeing this guy in the same clothes, same pose, just sort of looking at really most mundane and bizarre things. And like, the national newspapers jumped on it the other day, and I was like, ugh. I felt gutted that they jumped
on
it.
Yeah, it's gone mainstream
now.
Yeah,
I know, it's too mainstream. But yeah, it's brilliant, though. It's really interesting.
I always like it when he's pointing at something as well as looking at something.
Yeah.
So you can get two birds, one stone.
But it sort of jumps all over the place. Like, one day he'll be looking at chocolate, and then they'll be looking at cups, and they'll be in a classroom looking at kids. It's brilliant. It's the most sort of mundane propaganda. He's not even trying anymore to do propaganda. He's sort of like, Kim, basically the message of the propaganda is, Kim Jong-il is still alive. Don't need to do anything else. Don't worry about it. I'll just go home.
Might not
his, like, propaganda, you must have, like, his PR team must be, like, be loving it. It's so easy.
It's probably not even him. It's probably just like a lookalike that they wheel out. Just pop some big glasses on him.
No, that like a Madden 2 swords works. Yeah. In a pose,
pointing and looking, and then
wheel him up, bring him out the crate,
take a picture, tell everyone not to, like, tell the friends that it was actually a waxwork, and then they're sorted.
So we could technically get that. I think that'd be a good website, actually. Make Kim loads of little Kim Jong Il waxworks, and then have him looking at really hot things again. Call it Kim Jong Il melting near things. Hand out. Kim Jong-il melting near a fire. Kim Jong-il putting off firemen whilst melting in the way of them. Kim Jong-il melting in the house of wax, making sure Parasite doesn't get out alive.
I'd quite like to see him see his waxwork just like taken around the country and just put in like certain positions, like, I don't know, on an open top bus in London.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. Maybe on like the London Eye, possibly.
Yeah. Kim Jong-il replacing one of the candles in the hit Disney film Beauty and the Beast and remaining eternally young, developing a half-decent singing voice and then melting at the end. Maybe that could be one. Anyway, we're going to start the top four now. This is track four of the week. Philip Nutter's choice. Do you want to introduce your song?
Yeah, this is Chumbawamba with Tub Thumpin'.
Nice, because a bit of variation.
Because I heard on the grapevine that they're from Burnley. Spotify says they're from Leeds, but... they're not. And also, one of the members is called Alice Nutter, and I'm called Phil Nutter, so we might be related. Who knows?
Enjoy.
I get no.
You're listening to Tom Watts, aka
Remy Slam. on Insanity.
Yeah, that was a Tub Pumping by Chumblewoman. That was nice, wasn't it? It's sort of upbeat tune. It was nice to listen to that. If you're listening to What's Lee on Insanity, here with you for the next half an hour or so, if that, followed by Jammer. Phil Nutter's here doing the desk. How you doing, mate? You alright?
Yeah, I'm still good.
Good, good, good. You enjoying yourself? Half an hour to go?
Yeah.
Done well.
Thank you.
Done well, my young protege. Listen to the show before. You know what we're doing now.
I know. I'm following in your footsteps. I'm good. Sort of... who knows?
Deity-esque.
Birdie, I'll have Tuesday.
Oh, God. The Tuesday slot. Tuesday. It's been there for 3 years now. So, yeah, we're coming into the final bit of the show. Now, that was tune 4 of the week. Coming up next is tune 3. In the meantime, we'll be answering some crazy questions that Google couldn't quite answer. So, Phil, we're going to start at the top. And you're going to tell me what you would do if this was asked to you as a person.
All right.
What is God's plan for getting out of debt?
What, so is this what would I do if I was God? Or
no, just what would you answer to that question?
He would put his money in an ISA and spend wisely.
But what if God created ISA? He also created debt, so therefore how can he be in debt? Why would he create debt, God?
Because maybe he decided to make the economy an independent thing that was... Yeah, God likes privatisation, so he doesn't own it. It's not. There's no state intervention in heaven. It's a neoconservative heaven. Quite literally.
I don't like God's regime. He sounds like a sort of Texan gambler. Imagine just sat at a roulette, just throwing money on constantly. And when he runs out, he goes, "Oh no, what am I going to do now?" Poof, huge pile of money disappears again. He just creates it out of the ether and he starts throwing it on numbers again until he wins.
Otherwise known as quantitative easing, where you just go poof and make some money.
There we go then, Phil Nutter bringing the technical terms. Let's contemplate them during the next track. This is track 3 of the week. It's the new one from Radiohead. This is Lotus Flower. Yeah, that was a new one from Radiohead. That's Lotus Flower. You're listening to the disembodied voice of Tom Watts here with you for the next 20 minutes, along with Phil Nutter, who's running the desk, doing a mighty fine job he is.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah, neither of us are big fans of Radiohead, are we?
No, we just basically spent the entire length of
talking
that
about
song
Burnley
to say.
Football Club.
Yeah, we quickly moved off the topic
also,
of Radiohead.
I wasn't a fan of that jingle. It's a bit disturbing. It's a bit odd. I don't know what he's doing. He's not promoting anything. It's just creeping me out. I don't want to be creeped out when I'm talking on the radio. Otherwise, I'll just sort of ramble and moan at it like an idiot. I'm doing now. Meta. So yeah, that was number Trez, track of the week. Number Trez, whatever you want to... Number Dry, or whatever you want to call it. We're going to answer some more questions now before going to the second track of the week.
Hit me with them.
Okay, here's one. It's a good one, I think. Can I deduct the cost of a swimming pool with a doctor's note?
I don't even understand the question. What?
I think it's an American one. Can I... You know, like when you have to pay taxes...
Right.
Can I deduct the cost of a swimming pool from my taxes with a doctor's note? As in, I'm an alien made of water. I need the swimming pool to survive. Here's my doctor's note. Am I tax exempt?
Well,
if
the UFO guy is the guy who owns the garden that the swimming pool's in, then I'm sure he'll be able to pull some strings for you.
Extraterrestrial.
I mean, if he can get himself on like national news, I'm sure he can get you a swimming pool.
Of course he can. What a little scamp.
And he'll have the proof as well. He'll have
maybe
the evidence.
If you were like really fat and you just needed the flotation device, you just had to spend your entire time in the pool.
It's not so much a swimming pool, more a bath.
Yeah, something
like that.
Fair enough. Here's another one. How to build a little birdhouse in your soul. Note how it's little.
What, in your
Why
soul?
Why specifying the size? The soul is...
As in the soul
like
of a foot?
An ethereal sort of spiritual being. It doesn't have a sort of quantitative size. It doesn't need to be a little birdhouse. It could be any size. It could be as big as
is
you want
true?
To build it. Would it be a metaphorical birdhouse? I don't know. Why would you want a birdhouse, actually?
Yeah.
Why do you want a little bird feeder attached to your eternal soul?
And
you a bit annoyed, a bit of a stupid earring for that big ghost to wear, isn't it?
And you're probably just getting like squirrels coming into your soul and stealing the nuts from
I
the bird
squirrels,
table.
Little rodents. I don't want them.
Yeah.
I don't want them rooting around in my soul.
That's for the sparrows. Not for you, Squirrel Nutkin.
Yeah. Little tit.
Get out of town.
Beatrix Potter, you. Oh, you're writing about Squirrel Nutkin. Didn't he have his tail ripped off?
He did by an owl.
And he did his little dance, didn't he? I can't remember the dance. I'm doing it now. I can't sort of remember the song. If you're watching this online, you can see me sort of do some weird dance on the camera. But I can't remember the song. What's the song?
I can't remember.
Squirrel Nutkin, Squirrel.
Yeah, he basically
Nutkin
sings about himself.
Eat my nuts. Squirrel Nutkin, Squirrel Nutkin, kiss my butt. Squirrel napkin, squirrel napkin. That's enough. I can tell why that owl ripped his bloody tail off. I'll tell you that much for nothing. Jesus. This is number two track of the week. Phil, what is it?
It's Call for Cats by Squeeze.
That was Call for Cats with Squeeze, followed by God Awful Jingle. I hate that jingle. It's so loud, isn't it? Anyway, we found out the riddle that Squirrel Nutkin did. It. One of them is, old Mr. B, riddle me, re, flower of England, fruit of Spain, put together in a shower of rain, put in a bag, tied round with string. If you tell me this riddle, I'll give you a ring. I don't know what the answer is, though. I'm just going to say, I'll just punch a squirrel and steal that ring.
You are very like Squirrel Nutkin. I won't lie.
Maybe I am. Squirrel Nutkin. Well, I got a tail, so maybe I am. It's been ripped off by that git, Mr. B. What an app. What's he done with that? Why is he wearing his little scarf? We can speculate on this one, then we'll have got some good ones afterwards. Why do babies have those judging demonic eyes?
I think it's because...
what a strong word. Demonic.
Everyone always says like babies and children are innocent, so they look upon the rest of the world like it's a sinful bucket of... disgusting sin.
I saw a baby today. They had judging eyes. They were closed. It was asleep. Why? What's this child done to give make him think he's got demonic eyes?
I don't like babies. Yeah. I'm just going to put that out there.
Really?
I don't like their hands. They remind me of you know those crisps, chip sticks. Remind me of them.
Babies aren't made of crisps.
Because they're all pale. And
I
like...
think you failed to grasp the basic rudiments of the human complexion. They're not made of crisps. They're not peeling off everywhere like crumbs. Little chipstick idiots. Like, that's a strange thing to say. What would you think they're like crisps for?
No, they just look like it. I'm not saying that they like taste like chipsticks or anything like that. They just look like it.
What? No, they don't. I saw a baby today. They just look like miniature me, except they got loads of baggy skin. They look like a shrunken grape or a walrus.
It wouldn't surprise me if it is actually your baby.
How dare you insinuate that? It was a work friend. It wasn't my baby at all. Coming up next, this is the number one track of the week. It's a new one from The Strokes. This is Undercover of Darkness, baby. I'm Tom Watts on Insanity Radio. We're here with you for the next 5 or 6 minutes before we go to the final song of the night. Phil Nutter, he's done a sterling job. I commend him. Round of applause to him. Thank you very much. I want to thank Maggie and everybody else for all your emails. Maggie's just sent us a wonderful picture of Kim Jong-il apparently
beautiful.
Throwing chewing gum at a child. We were looking at it and it sort of encapsulated everything about the show, tonight's show, in one picture. So congratulations, Maggie. Thank you for that. Find us on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever, and you can follow us and keep in touch with the show because we'd like you to listen more. It's nice having friends of the show in France.
It is, isn't it? It's lovely.
But here is one last question to put the night away before we go. How to convince a man he's being scammed by an African woman for marriage? I mean, I read that and I thought to myself, what better person to ask than to ask my own African wife, Mtet.
Right.
Mtet?
You've dropped this one on us.
Yeah, Mtet. I asked her and she's like, I don't know how you get scammed before she emptied my wallet and ran out of the house. So God knows what's going on there. Scandalous little beggar that she is. Lovely.
When did you get married?
Oh, a couple of years ago, she left a few months ago. I haven't seen her yet.
I was going to say, you're not wearing a ring. Are things all right with you and Mtet?
Yeah, she stole a ring. Well, she said she's going to get it cleaned, resized, whatever, you know.
Oh, okay.
The usual jazz. I'm sure she'll be back soon.
When did she go to get this ring resized? Was it like 2 months ago or something?
A couple of months ago now, mate. It's a bit hard to talk about, really.
All right. Oh, I'm sure she's fine. Maybe she's just like on the bus and it's taking a while to get back.
Yeah, how will we convince this person that he's getting scammed by an African woman for marriage? Well, for a start, all her emails, you've never met her, they're all emails, they always come into your spam box. I wouldn't believe anything there. The spam box, the specially produced artificial meat box. Why, it was the staple of World War II, it's a brilliant ration food. Why would I not believe anything in that little wonderful email box? What a numpty.
Maybe he should just do some basic trust exercises, like get her to catch him, like he falls over. Catch him, and then if she does catch him, then she loves you. If not, then I'd start.
Bit hard because she's an email, Phil, and if he fell backwards into a computer, he might electrocute himself. So I don't think that'd be a good trust exercise.
True, and you might just like damage like
the computer. You're not only damaging yourself, but the computer also.
£1,000 worth of computing equipment there.
Let's not go that far. That's quite expensive. If that.
Well, you never know. You never know what this man's bank balance is.
No, if he's getting, yeah, scammed by an African princess.
Might have won the Nigerian lottery for all
sure.
We know, so.
Anyway, that is the end of the show. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Phil, for stepping in for Chris Burge. It's been a sterling job.
It's been lovely being here.
Wonderful, right.
It's been an experience.
He's been Phil Nutt, and I've been Tom Watts. We will be back next Tuesday, hopefully. Coming up now to finish the night before Jammer Come On Air, this is Wilhelm Scream by James Blake. Bye!
Tomorrow.